we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
All right, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will be glad in it. You know, I am excited for what God has for you ladies. I am so excited. What a group of ladies. You guys are all, I'm so excited for you guys. Do you know that we have people that are joining this study that are in other states, they are in other countries, and they are following this women's Bible study. How fun is that? You know, that's God. That's what God does. When you put God's word out, that's what happens. And God opens up the doors for ministry in every way possible. So what a neat thing it is to be in the presence of the Lord together. How special it is that we are all here together, and I love seeing your smiling faces. I love watching you laugh. I love watching you drink your coffee and pretend like you're in a restaurant somewhere, you know, and just having that time where we can get together and just relax and enjoy each other's company and rest in knowing that God has got this. Do you believe that? God has got this. Whatever it is, God has got this. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray this morning, Father, we pray first of all, we are with thanksgiving. You said, come into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Lord, we did it backwards. We came in with praise, and now we're coming in with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this place that we are able to meet. I thank you, Lord, that you have held back the rain that was supposed to come today. I thank you, Lord, that you are you go before us, behind us, on either side of us, all around us. Lord, that you are in complete control of everything that's going on right now. All those things that we are fearing in our hearts, Lord, all those things that have drawn us to a place of just not sure, but Lord, you've got it. And what if none of those things happen that we're worried about? That's what we're looking to. We're looking to you, Lord, because you have all the answers. You've got it all together. And we thank you, Lord, that you have got this. And Lord, as we pray for the inauguration tomorrow, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for your peace to reign over all of the inauguration, Lord. We pray for our nation. We pray, Father, for a revival. We pray for revival here in the United States, Lord. We know that you can do this. There is nothing that's too hard for you. And we thank you, Lord, for doing it. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness with this nation. Father, we ask forgiveness for our unfaithfulness to you. Lord, I pray that you would grant us mercy and grace. And Lord, make us wise for every opportunity, Lord, to share with people around us your goodness. Your goodness. We thank you, Lord, and pray for this study. We pray, God, that your word would go forth, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, Lord, and that we would be different women when we leave. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, yesterday, Bethany was in CVS pharmacy, and she was standing in line. She sent this to me. She said there was a man in front of her. Okay, so we'll have wind, but that's okay. Hang on to your masks. We don't want to lose these. Oh, my goodness. These guys in here are going, what? What? Is there something going on out there? So she's standing in line at CVS Pharmacy, She said there was a guy in line in front of her about my age, and he started talking about hard times and how everyone is bound to have. And Lord Jesus, we do, in the name of Jesus, stand against this wind, Lord. We pray, Father, that there would be nothing that would hinder your word going forth. In the name of Jesus, we just stand against that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Okay, so she was starting to talk, he was starting to talk about hard times and how everyone is bound to have them. And Bethany said, in this life you will have trouble. And, you know, she's quoting scripture to him. And he said, and he started talking about dropping out of college in L.A., doing drugs and getting involved in the Children of God cult where he met his wife. And then he got saved hitchhiking, and the guy who picked him up led him to the Lord. And here we are standing in the line in CVS Pharmacy. And he said he was brand new. Bethany told him, that's why it's called born again. And the lady behind her said, yep. There, right in the line in CVS Pharmacy, the word of God is going forth. Because why? Because it's right there in her heart. You know, it's natural to us. We just share those things out wherever we're at. So why Micah? Why are we in the book of Micah? Most people ask that. Why Micah? What are you doing in Micah? And I ask the same question. Because God said so. Because God told us this is where we are to be. We are to be in the book of Micah. And now I'm beginning to understand it as I'm studying it. I'm beginning to see the depth in these minor prophets. They're called minor only because they're shorter than the other prophets. They're not less in content. They are not less in if I cough, I will tell you it's because of the wind. You can trust me. Okay? And I'm far away from you, so I did see a thing on the news yesterday that they said, if you're only hurting from here to here, it's probably just allergies. That was on the news. That was on the news. So don't worry. You know, if you're only hurting from here to here, you're fine. You know, so anyway, so the minor prophets, not less in contents, they're less in content or depth. They got a lot of stuff in them. A lot of stuff, and it's condensed to the point. There are 12 minor prophets, which was an interesting thing to me. 12 minor prophets, 12 apostles, 12 minor prophets. Bill taught us a little song. How many of you know the song to do to the minor prophets? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Hezekiah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. We can do this. See, I wasn't singing it. I was saving you from my voice. But memorize the books of the Bible. Memorize where they are at. Know your way through a printed Bible. I want to encourage you, know your way through a printed Bible. Last week, the computers all went down, and I don't know if anybody else had trouble last week. The computers wouldn't work, the website was down, everything was down, and you know what it was blamed on? A star that died shortly after creation, and we were just now getting the gamma rays. That was the reason that we were having that problem. So I was thinking about the fact that how many of us go to our phones or go to our computer and we look up a scripture there. We let the computer find it for us. We let the computer answer our questions for us. We don't search for answers as much as we used to. And it's important that we search the scriptures, know what they have to say, know your way around the Bible. So memorize those books, and maybe we'll have a contest during this Bible study. Maybe we'll have a contest in how many people can go through all of the books of the Old Testament and then all of the books of the New Testament in order. Maybe we'll do a prize. Oh, well, that was just extra. So I challenge you to memorize those books. Micah is the fourth largest of the minor prophets. It's quoted five times in the New Testament. And one of those quotings is in Matthew 2:6, and it quotes Micah 5:2. The verse predicts that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, there was another Bethlehem that is in the north, so he made it very specific. It was Bethlehem Ephratah. So he made that prediction. He made that prophecy. The purpose of the Bible is to teach us that what God is like. God is holy. God is good. God is just. God is love. We learned on Sunday, if you came on Saturday, you also learned the same thing from Pastor Bill about what the love of God is and how we walk in love and how we know what love is. And so I would encourage you to pick that teaching up on the website or on Facebook or YouTube or however you get it and listen to it again and let me know what those seven things were that he talked about. Because I didn't get them, and I went to all four messages. So I never did get all those seven things. So God wants us to know his character. God wants us to know his character. He wants us to know his holiness. He wants us to know his righteousness. He wants us to know of his unfailing love. When we were going in the book of Ruth, we learned about the kind of love that is called Hesed. H-E-S-S-E-D. I believe it's two S's. It's Hesed love. Hesed love is love without an exit strategy. Love without an exit strategy. That's the kind of love that God has for us. That's the kind of love we're to have for one another. A love that without an exit strategy. God never stops loving us, and the better we know him, the more we can trust him in everything, even in our future. How many of you, well, you know, now I'm sounding like my husband. Now, how many of you, and you need to raise your hand, but your future. During this time in 2020, we found that we planned things and it didn't happen. And we planned things and it didn't happen. And we planned things and it didn't happen. And it wears down. In the last days, it says that the enemy will work at the wearing down of the saints. And don't you feel that sometimes right now? Just the wearing down of the saints. And so that's where we're at. But God holds our future. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. I know who is in charge. We need to get familiar with God's promises and with his covenants so we can experience more peace, not the peace that is just on the outside. Not the peace that's just on the outside. I've got it all together. Oh, I'm at peace. I'm all calm, but my insides are falling apart. I had something happen recently. I've never, ever, ever in my life gone through this before, and I had to have somebody pray for me. I was on the outside. I was doing fine, but my insides were like, I think I'm going to explode. I think it's not, I don't know, a panic attack. I don't know what it was, but it was something that was from the enemy, and I knew it. Got somebody to pray with me, went home, got that time alone with the Lord, and it's all taken care of. We want that kind of peace that is not only on the outside, but is on the inside. Because what shows up on the outside will be so much more peacefulness that will go on to other people. We need that peace that surpasses all understanding, that will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There have been a number of prophecies lately that people have put forth, especially about the election and that sort of thing. And we found that there were many of them turned out to be false prophets. Because if you're not 100% right, you're a false prophet. If you make a prophecy and you say, thus saith the Lord, this is the way that it is, and it does not come to pass, then you are a false prophet. That's not any of you guys. I didn't mean to use the word you. It's not any of you guys that are false prophet, but prophets are 100%. When Micah wrote his prophecy, the future seemed hopeless. Does your future seem hopeless? When you look at all the stuff that's going on, do you sometimes feel that hopelessness? But Micah was not hopeless because he knew the God of hope. Micah knew the God of hope. He is the God of hope. Cling to that God of hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest strain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I promise you that. You can trust him 100%. Everything that God has said is completely true. No matter how dark the day is, in the light of God's promises, it's still shining. No matter how confusing and frightening our circumstances may be, our circumstances may not change. And they probably won't change. But no matter how frightening our circumstances may be, the character of God remains the same. No matter how hopeless our future may seem, in him we still find hope. So says Warren Wiersbe. And I say the same thing too. We have that hope in him. No matter how hopeless our future may seem, in him we can still find hope. Revival rarely lasts more than one generation. There was a revival in my generation. There was a Jesus revival in my generation. And as I look around the world today, and I look at how people are living, and I look at the next generation coming, it's not that I have anything personal against the next generation, but that revival is not there. What we had, I would encourage you to get the movie Woodlawn. If you have not seen the movie Woodlawn, you need to see it. If you were not a part of that revival, you need to see the movie Woodlawn because that's exactly what it was like. I mean, you had people asking you, who's Jesus? How do I get saved? I mean, they would stop you on the street. It really was like that. It's amazing. So see that movie and get into that. It's interesting to note that Micah followed Jonah in the Bible. What was happening at the end of Jonah? The Ninevites were in sackcloth and ashes and humbling themselves. They even put sackcloth on their animals. They were repenting. They were humbling themselves before the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. You will be lifted up. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Don't make God humble you. It's a lot easier if you humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, 1 Peter 5:6. But by the time Micah writes this prophecy, they've gone back to their own ways. They've gone back to what they were. The revival is over. Now they are warmongers. When we get to Nahum, we'll see what turning back to sin cost the Ninevites. In Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we want to continue in that direction, that revival. Jonah, why was Jonah so upset about what that God would deliver these people, the Ninevites? Why was he so, I don't want them to be saved. Have you ever had somebody that you go, no, nope, nope, I am not praying for them. I remember, and I know I've shared this with you before, but the day that I said that to the Lord, I cannot pray for that person. I cannot pray. The hurt is too deep. It's too hard. I can't do that. And the Lord said, it's okay with you if they go to hell then? And of course, it's not okay. When you look at the reality of that, We must pray for one another. We must humble ourselves, and we must be ready for what God has for us through other people. Jonah suspected and he feared that Israel would be taken down by the Ninevites, and that is actually what will happen. Last year, and I've told you that I always ask the Lord for a scripture for the year, and the Lord has not given me a scripture for this year yet. But one thing he has told me is that Nahum 2:1, which was our scripture last year, was there to prepare us for what is going on this year. So that's the only word that I've gotten so far, so I pass that on to you. For 100 years, the entire Middle East was terrified by Assyria. It didn't help. That Ahaz was being the kind of king that he was. The Assyrians besieged Samaria. Now, Samaria was the capital. There's the north and there's the south. Samaria is the capital in the north. Jerusalem is the capital in the south. And so Samaria had was captured, and it meant that it was no more. Yes, that's exactly what it means. They also besieged Jerusalem and carried away Manasseh into captivity, where he was there for, I was going to say 100 years. No, it was only 1 year. For approximately a year, he was there in captivity. Nineveh had thrown off sackcloth. They had thrown off the repentance. I don't have to repent for that. Do you know who I am? I don't have to repent for that. Oh, no, no, no. That was their opinion. They became proud. They became thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to. They became tyrant and terror over the world once again. Tyrants, and they terrorize the world. Because when we walk away from the Lord, the person that we are when we walk away is worse than the person we were when we came to Jesus. Because stay with the Lord. Stay with the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't stop serving Christ. When Micah began to write Samaria, Samaria's destruction was a for sure. Even godly King Hezekiah couldn't keep them on track. Even though he tried, you see, because morality and truth cannot be governed. We can't make a law that you have to be moral. We can't make a law that you can't sin. It has to come from the heart. Micah was a younger contemporary of the prophet Isaiah, but Micah was a countryman. He was a farmer, so he was out in the rural areas. We know nothing about him except that he was a Moreshite. I think that's how it's pronounced, but you know, you have it in your Bible, so you pronounce it however you want to. You know, all of our English has an accent on it anyway. And that the prophecy during the reigns of, that he prophesied during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He was primarily a prophet to Judah, but he did have something to say to Samaria. And when he said that to Samaria, exactly what he said would happen is what happened. It's been said, and I was going to wait until next week, but Micah says the same things that Isaiah said. They were contemporaries. They were at the same time. So Isaiah, how many books in Isaiah? 66? Is that not books, but chapters. 66 chapters in Isaiah, and Micah is able to say it in 7 chapters. So what we have in Micah is the Reader's Digest of Isaiah. So it's just more to the point. He indicated that Samaria's doom was inescapable. because chapter 1, verse 9, because her wound would be incurable. Her wound would be incurable, and her doom came just as he predicted. He was a tried and true prophet. After Samaria, he concentrated more on Judah. It's only about a day's journey from Micah's hometown to Jerusalem, and he could see the sin in the capital. It's interesting how capital cities seem to have more stuff. You know, I've been to a number of capitals now, and just as I've wandered through them, and it wasn't during COVID time, so the natural stuff was going on, and just to see the things that go on in those areas of the capitals, why is it that evil seems to congregate amongst the leaders of a nation? Wonder why that is. So he could see it on his way as he walked, the sins of his hometown as well. Everywhere he looked, he saw the sins of his people calling down inevitable judgment. Everywhere he went, he saw the people's sins that would cause inevitable judgment. We are living in a time when we are looking around and seeing some of the same stuff. And so we want to be in prayer. We want to be sincere in what we're talking about and what we want to walk closely with the Lord. Micah saw a godly king, a descendant of David, King Hezekiah, who had been encouraged by Isaiah. He was fighting a losing battle. What was he fighting the losing battle against? He was fighting the losing battle. Listen to this. He was fighting a losing battle of injustice, of apostasy. What is apostasy? Apostasy is worshiping idols, turning away from the Lord, and wickedness in high places. I haven't seen any of that. Have you guys seen any of that around? Isn't that interesting? Injustice, apostasy, wickedness in high places. Micah could see that Judah, like Israel, would come under God's correction. It would come under God's correction. His vision was not restricted by imminent retribution. He didn't see just what was before him because he had a hope. He had a hope. He trusted in the God of hope. In that dim and very distant future, he would tell of the reign of a coming king. He would tell of the reign of King Jesus, that Jesus would come, the Messiah would come. And this is what he has in this little book. In spite of King Hezekiah's efforts to reform the religious life of Judah, idolatry survived. And I want you to hear this, it was the root of all the evil flourishing in the land. The nation's leaders remained proud, unscrupulous, and cruel. Proud, unscrupulous, and cold. They were cruel. They were addicted to luxury. And they were also addicted, so to speak, to the need to not notice the people in need. The poor. They didn't notice the poor. They didn't pay attention to the poor. Jesus said that we are to give to the poor, that we are to care for the poor, that we are to all be givers. This is what I want you to hear, what was going on. Practical unbelief coexisted with the outward worship of God. Practical unbelief coexisted with outward worship of God. What am I saying? They went to church. They sang the worship songs. They stood. They raised their hands. Maybe they even danced. Maybe it was Pentecostal. They outwardly worshiped, but inwardly was like a dead tree. Unbelief was there. And it coexisted right there in the church, right there together, staying together. And then what happened with that? Hostility against God's prophets raises up. And it's coming up, false prophets began to make a disastrous effort to gain the people's trust. When you get into Jeremiah, you find out what is the how that comes to a head there. Micah himself suffered at the hands of the false prophets. Micah himself would suffer at the hands of the false prophets. The prophecies of Micah were not readily accepted by many of his contemporaries, but as always, after we're gone, you know, when our kids have kids of their own and they say, oh yeah, you were really smart, they thought you were really stupid before, you know, not all of our kids thought that, but you know how kids think you don't have it together, and a lot of things I didn't have together. But then as my kids grew up, they saw some of those same things happening in their family, and they go, oh, you are so smart the way you handled that. Yeah, so that's a nice thing when your kids say that. But after Micah, his writings became, his prophecies became authoritative. And they are quoted in Jeremiah 26, 17 through 19, so that you can put that in your homework. He began where he was in a nation rapidly approaching judgment. We begin where we're at. We are in a nation that is rapidly approaching judgment. But we begin where we are at. What can I do? I don't know what to do. What can I do right now? Not what can I do in 5 years, not what can I do in a year, not what can I do in 6 months, not what can I do in 3 months, not what can I do in a week. What can I do right now? Because right now, we'll build on the next right now, and the next right now, and the next right now. And we will grow, and we will manifest the things of the Lord. His theme in the book of Micah is retribution, all ours, retribution, restoration, and repentance. Retribution, restoration, and repentance. This is not just a history lesson. Micah is not just a history lesson. It's a glimpse into the character of God. What he did for the Jews, he continues to do for all people. Micah never lost hope because he knew God's character. We will not lose hope if we know God's character. Hope based on the character of God will transform our lives. Hope in Christ. Christ is the ultimate expression of God's character. We trust in him. It is that solid rock that we're on. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. On Christ, it is on Christ that I stand. It is because of Christ's death and resurrection that I stand here today. You can trust God. You can trust him. All those things that you're worrying about, all those what ifs that might happen but probably won't, what are you worrying about? We have the God of hope. We have the God of hope. I have him living in my heart. And if you've asked Christ to come and live in your heart, he lives there with you as well. And I think the wind is probably telling me I'm almost finished. So On Christ the solid rock I stand. This quote, please listen to it. The hope that God kindles becomes a flame others notice and are drawn to. The hope that God kindles becomes a flame others notice and are drawn to. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, if someone asks you about Christian hope, always be ready with an answer. How can you be ready with an answer? Know your Bible. Know the Word of God. Know what God has to say about different things. Trust in the God of hope. God's got this. Bethany was able to show the hope she has while standing in line at the CVS pharmacy. Sounds like an advertisement for CVS, I know. She was able to share Christ in a line or two. She didn't stand there and give a whole sermon. It was just a line or two. Because it's who she is. Christ in me, my hope of glory. It is Christ in me. The little book of Micah is going to change our lives. It's going to meet us where we're at. And we're going to come away from it refreshed. We're going to come away from it encouraged because we will see the character of God. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this little book of Micah. I thank you for your faithfulness toward us and that you would leave behind, Lord, this book for us to study and to read and to know what you had to say through your servant Micah. Thank you, Lord, for Micah's obedience. Thank you, Lord, for his commitment to you. Father, help us to be women that are sincere, women that are committed, women that are trusting in you. And Father, we want to live our lives in a way that everybody looks at us and how we're shining, and they want to have that same light shining on them. So Lord, give us your words when we speak to people. Help us to love with that chesed love. Help us to grow in you, Lord God. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, to put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. Giving up.